I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. City of Atlanta voters will say yay or nay on a $250 million bond package for infrastructure improvements. The city's overall infrastructure backlog is nearly $1 billion. And quite simply, that means there's a lot to be fixed. But there are some critics of the referendum. But joining a closer look to talk about this and other city issues is Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed. Mayor Reed, thanks for coming back. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Rose. That intro sound like Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, so y'all better be careful. I don't want to get hit with a lawsuit. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
WABE attorneys are standing by, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
I was just trying to help. Had a little Marvin Gaye flavor.
Let's back up again. With that $1 billion infrastructure, how did the city get to this point with that?
We got to this point because of tight economic times, we haven't been investing in our seed corn. So obviously, we just came out of the worst recession in more than 80 years. Mayor Franklin did a terrific job dealing with the sewer overhaul.
Sure.
But that was about a $4 billion effort. So when she took that on, there really wasn't room because our sewer system was in crisis and we were getting ready to lose control of our sewer system. So I think every mayor has their issue to take on. I took on pensions and now we're taking on infrastructure. What we're trying to do is to show that the city needs to move to a place where it's working on these issues all of the time. And I think that because we're not going to increase taxes to do it, it will make it more acceptable. And I think it will change people's attitude as they see the difference that the projects are going to make.
Let's talk about those projects. The list is not finalized yet. But for the voter out there, now you have this opportunity for the voter out there that says, you know what, how can I be sure that this project list will be evenly distributed throughout the city?
Sure.
And that it's not just all maybe around the Falcom Stadium, all in Buckhead, East Atlanta. Make sure areas don't get ignored.
Well, the bottom line is the list is more than 90% complete, and it does have some flexibility. But what I would say to that voter is the infrastructure bond measure passed unanimously. So just think about that. That really is representative of the entire city. It's very rare that we have a measure in Atlanta municipal government that receives the unanimous support of council. And that's because we worked hard on the 90% of the list that is actually confirmed. So it's not just me saying that we need infrastructure. It's your local city council person saying it as well. And so folks know that we have a very divergent council. Folks know that we have council members that speak up for themselves and champion their communities and their neighborhoods. And on this issue, people are unanimous that we have to act and act right now. And there's one other point that I'd like to make, Rose and Dennis, and that is most of the big items on this list that are going to absorb the spending are really no-brainers. Traffic light synchronization, for example, it's $40 million. There are four bridges that all of us would walk up to, all of the data show, is in need of significant repair. There's a road paving program. And so once you go through the major items, the amount that is left over really is I won't say small, but is an area that we can guarantee transparency around.
But
that's why I think that folks are supporting it overwhelmingly.
But if the no-brainers are in fact no-brainers, and if the support on the council is unanimous, then why not put out a complete project list? Is it because that's what happened with the T-Splast and the T-Splast went down? Is it more a lesson learned from that? Let's get people to vote for it first and then tell them what they're voting for.
No, that's not
been
really
one of the criticisms.
Lesson, Dennis, you know, first of all, when this was done in the past, complete project lists weren't put forward. The project list is going to be locked by the end of April. We're not going to spend money without the voters know what the money is being spent for. So because the voters give us authorization doesn't mean that we have to spend it. It just means that we have the permission to spend it. So I think that there's going to be robust transparency. There are multiple measures before council today to provide the needed and necessary oversight. And I'd like to go back to the T-Splast. In the transportation referendum, Dennis, the people in the city of Atlanta voted for it 59%. Now, in my understanding of politics, two-thirds is a landslide. So during the last transportation referendum, folks voted for it to the tune of 59%. And everything that we see thus far is that this measure today, on tomorrow, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day vote, yes and yes, is that it's going to pass overwhelmingly.
So then the question becomes, if they approve this, if the voters approve it, it'll be $250 million,
up to 250,
mm-hmm. right? Sorry about that, which is at maximum a quarter or maybe even less of what the overall need is. So are we saying, because it's all urgent, $1 billion worth, we're going to be coming back with either more bond issues or higher taxes?
The answer is hopefully we'll be coming back with more bond issues, but without higher taxes. And let me explain why. I've been mayor now 5 years. We haven't raised taxes, and I was in the worst of the worst of times. Now the economy is coming back. The finances of the city are coming back. But Rose and Dennis, in 2009, the year before I became mayor, the city's general fund budget was $640 million. This year, our budget will probably be around $585 to $590. So as the economy comes back and as people continue to move into the city, we went in and took out more than $25 million in cost so that we could pay for the $16 million in debt service. So we're not going to add to the city's credit card. And I would understand a concern if we weren't doing it the way that we are. But the city's finances are on a forward-looking trend. So I hope that my successor will do another 250 and then another 250 and then another successor will do 250 because we have to get in the habit of capital investment. There's no other business that functions without investing in capital but us. So, you know, right now, the only thing that we're doing really is duct taping our problems. So we may invest $25 million here, $10 million here. And if we're going to be the dominant economy in the Southeast, and if we're going to be best in class, we're going to have to get in the habit of doing that. So I'm trying to ease it and make people comfortable with it and prove that, one, we can afford it, which I think is a bigger story that folks aren't really talking much about because the rating agencies signed off on this move and made very favorable comments about the financial direction of the city, which is why we can afford to do it without a tax increase.
Mr. Mayor, let's talk about timeline here. You're optimistic, so okay, voters approve it. The question everybody has is, okay, that means a pothole in front of my house is going to be fixed next week. Let's mm-hmm. talk about timeline here and also priority of projects.
Yes.
What's the process involved for that?
The process really is going to be driven by the council. So we are going to lock the project list prior to going to the markets for the bond, which is going to make voters feel much better. So it's not like we're going to go and ask for 250 and then figure it out. So through March and through April, after the vote tomorrow, we're going to traffic light synchronization, which is a $40 million item, is a definite. The bridge repair is a definite. And then we're going to publicize the list in April, let voters see it and have more input, and then we'll go to the bond market in a transparent fashion. You know, Rose, one of the things that I received a criticism about is not having a more public and transparent process in the past. Mm-hmm. That hadn't been the complaint here. Because here we actually had more than 100 meetings. We had thousands of people go to our website. So that hasn't been the case. This hasn't been the case where folks felt like we were trying to push or rush something. The issue for critics this time has been the project list not being finalized. But I would just say when we did this before.
Yeah, that's nothing new, to be
that's
fair.
That's not true. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that list has never, I think even under Shirley Franklin's administration, the list was not finalized.
So, I mean, you know, we've got 90% that is finalized. There's about another 10% left. And so I really tried to listen to the feedback that I received and change. And so that's what the timeline is going to look like. In April, you're going to have a complete project list. Before we go to borrow $1, The public's going to be able to see it. The council today is moving forward with an oversight body so that every dollar we spend has appropriate oversight. The private sector, through the Atlanta Committee for Progress, is standing up another independent oversight body with their own staff. And I support all of it because I want the public to feel terrific that we are trying to take on challenges that we've been driving by and seeing every day, like the potholes that you referenced.
Mr. Mayor, and I hate to ask this, but I'm going to ask it now. Let's say it doesn't pass.
If it doesn't pass, then I just respect the wish of the voters. I'm a big boy, and if folks don't support it, then I'll just respect the will of the voters, and we will move on.
There's no other way to come up with the dollars to pay for this infrastructure, to begin paying for the infrastructure?
Not in the order of magnitude that we need to avoid some pretty bad consequences. Here's what I say to folks. I spent a year of my life when I first got elected telling folks that our pension reform effort was needed and that we were going off a fiscal cliff. Well, guess what? If you look at Detroit, if you look at Chicago and other cities, I was telling the truth. And since we passed pension reform, we have balanced 5 budgets and we have grown cash reserves to $138 million. We have stopped layoffs. We have stopped having to terminate people during the Christmas season. So, I know folks, that we're in a period where folks don't trust politicians. I'm not asking for trust. I'm asking to look what I did. Oops. And so once again, if we don't take on this infrastructure, the costs are going to balloon because the situation is deteriorating faster and faster and faster.
Let me pursue Rosa's question, because even if the infrastructure bond passes, what we're doing is repairing, upgrading, making capital improvements to places that really need it.
Yes.
But then you have the reason we got into this mess in the first place, which is we didn't keep them up. So are we going to have to see, whether this passes or not, more money from the budget going to maintenance, ongoing maintenance? And won't that mean that money will have to come from somewhere, because it's going to be a lot? And won't that again raise the question of whether there would be increased taxes, millage rate increases, whatever?
I think that's totally fair. But at the same time, the financial condition of the city is improving, and it's improving fast enough, in my judgment, that we should be able to absorb this debt and pay our bills as long as we don't change our behavior and start spending on some other things. And, all I can say is this. I got elected in the worst of the worst of it. I had every reason to use financial situations as an excuse to raise taxes. I never did. And so we're not going to while I'm mayor. And then I'm going to leave the cupboard full. So when I leave office, there will be at least $150 million in reserves. You will have an unqualified opinion from our auditor, KPMG, stating that the city's finances are in strong condition. You will have the best credit rating that the city has enjoyed in more than 17 years. And so that's where I'm going to leave things. And I'm going to prove that we paid for the debt that we encumbered. And then I'm going to pass the baton on to somebody else who can come and experience this robust questioning.
But will there be more? But will there be more in the ongoing budgets each year for maintenance?
The answer is there will. But you're also going to be seeing, as I laid out, in 08 and 09, the general fund budget was 640. My first general fund budget was 545, Dennis. So as the city continues to thrive and the property tax digest continues to rise, the question is, where are you going to send that new money?
We're talking with Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed. The vote is tomorrow. It's a $250 million bond package for infrastructure improvements. When we come back, we'll get the mayor's thoughts, although we think we know this about the state Supreme Court's ruling regarding the Falcon Stadium. He's already smiling. Are you tweeting?
Yes. Shouldn't I be?
There's more with Mayor Kasim Reed after this. Mayor Reed, I want to ask a question. When you were a young lad running around Atlanta, did you swim at the Martin Luther King Natatorium there?
I did. I have to admit my bias. I did. I swam at the ML King Natatorium, and then I was a tennis coach during Camp Best Friends right up the street.
How important is it for that? Either some will say, well, not only does it need to be upgraded, but maybe you might have to just build a whole natatorium. It's a huge $17 million project on their project list. How important is that for you to get that done?
I think it's the right thing to do historically in terms of improving the ML King Center campus. I also think it's the right thing to do in terms of the activity and the family growth that's in that corridor. When the ML King Natatorium was open, it was used constantly. So you're not trying to, you know, have some asset that was sparsely used before. And so I feel real good about it. I look forward to working with the city council to get their input on it. But I feel good about it. And I appreciate you having the knowledge to know that I used to swim. One of my friends is going to be in trouble. I don't know who disclosed that.
I want to get we actually asked some listeners to give feedback, to submit their questions. I have a question from a listener who has issues with blight next to where they live. And we know that all over the city there are some areas where foreclosures are happening. And the listener says there is an abandoned building right next to his house with no doors, no windows. He wants to know, what's the process to get that taken care of?
If the listener will send me a tweet or give me their phone number, I'll call them and we'll get somebody out there today.
Or does the city, I know you all have sort of taken a proactive in terms of getting these absentee or out-of-state owners to keep these buildings in check. How's that going?
It's going well. I mean, we merged the code enforcement department with our police department, so we're being far more aggressive. We had a backlog of more than 5,000 code enforcement complaints. We have now worked through that backlog and completely eliminated it. Now we're working on fresh complaints. And we have beefed up that area, added more staffing to it. But if there's someone that's experiencing that right now, if you'll send me a tweet, I will arrange at Kasim Reed. I'll arrange for someone to call you directly and come out to your home.
On the subject of neighborhoods, the state Supreme Court this morning upheld the city's bond package for the new Falcon Stadium.
Yes.
Some $200 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
The objection from some of the neighbors, particularly in English Avenue and Vine City, was, look, that they would be hurt by the new development. That was part of the challenge to the bond package. It's coming from hotel motel taxes. Now that the Supreme Court has upheld it, what would you say to folks in the neighborhoods who still have concerns that they will begin, as has happened in the past, be left behind by this development?
I would say that that I'm going to do everything in my power every day to earn your trust and confidence through action. That's why we've already started letting part of the $30 million in projects that are directly connected to Vine City English Avenue. That's why the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation has stood up Westside Works. That's why a group of the leading CEOs in the city of Atlanta have launched the Westside Future Fund so that we can direct philanthropy to Vine City and English Avenue. And, you know, I would just point out that if you look in terms of what we have available in the TAD, the $30 million commitment from the Blank Foundation in the city of Atlanta, and everything that we're doing, including competing for a Choice Neighborhoods grant, which is about $250 million worth of leverage, Dennis, shows that we understand the skepticism and the hurt, but that we're trying to change it, not through words, but through our behavior. And I'd also point this out, Dennis, $100 million, which was pointed out on the cover of the Sunday AJC, has been invested in Vine City and English Avenue, and 99% of those projects were defaulted on. So, you know, we have to have some shared responsibility here. The notion that nothing has been done is really unfair to everyone. So there was $100 million deployed in Vine City and English Avenue between 1988 and today. And so what we're trying to do is to learn lessons from that and to make sure that when we spend it, now we have a requirement that even if we're giving to a local group, they have to have a major partner that that is capable of completion. That's just something that we have learned. And so we think that on this new opportunity to spend and invest, and I'm excited about it. That we're going to move the needle much farther than we moved it before.
How involved will groups like the neighborhood planning units and so forth be involved in determining, you know, the future of those projects and what the needs of those neighborhoods are?
They're going to be key. If you look at our Invest Atlanta meetings, I chair that board. We've been receiving very good neighborhood feedback. And so what I want people to know is that I have heard the concerns around being more collaborative, around the need for me to listen more. And I'm working much harder to listen more and to change and to be more collaborative. And so that's what I'm trying to show in Vine City and English Avenue.
I did a story on West Side Works. I was in that neighborhood. I talked to people. One of their major concerns was, we're all excited about new development coming in, but will it be affordable for me, which is what I heard. And you know that area over there, Mayor Reed.
Yes.
You know Vine City, English Avenue. Let's just be really clear. Most of those neighborhoods are a mess. You see the
yes.
abandoned buildings. You see buildings that caught a fire and they're just still standing there.
Mm-hmm.
For people who want to stay in the city of Atlanta, and we had a representative on from the ARC talking about affordable housing, and is it really affordable?
Yes.
Before you leave office, are you confident, do you have confidence that people will feel comfortable about staying in where they are, staying in the areas where they are, which may be an underserved community?
Yes.
But they have a right to stay there.
They do.
So affordable housing has to be affordable.
Well, what I think, Rose, is nobody is going to have a bigger champion than me. If you look at my behavior, once again, not my word, but my behavior as mayor, I have been more demanding on developers that receive benefits from the city to have an affordability requirement. There's no elected official that has a better record on me, better record than me. Fulton County has no requirement at all, right? So what we have done is we have strategic real estate assets, and we're going to partner with folks to make sure that affordability is key. But what I can tell you around Vine City and English Avenue, we're definitely going to have strong affordability requirements in those neighborhoods.
Let's talk about an ongoing issue here. During your last visit, you were somewhat optimistic the city and the Atlanta Public Schools would reach an agreement over money that was owed from mm-hmm. the school system from the
yes.
Beltline contract. Mr. Mayor, can you give us an update? How close are you to an agreement?
I think that after we're done with the referendum, I think we will get back to the negotiating tables. I had some very good offline conversations within the last 72 hours about that. I think that they're productive. I think that the tone of the rhetoric is going down. I think that we are working really hard to get an agreement. And I think once we get through Tuesday, that's probably going to be the number one issue. But Rose, I will tell you that privately, the conversations are going well.
Is there a timeline in your mind for coming up with a solution to this, number one? And number two, there are a couple of proposed ordinances in the city council dealing with council involvement in the deeds to school property.
Well, I'd say a couple of things, Dennis. Number one, both council bills I supported. So the council bill on the path towards resolving this and the council bill regarding using some of these properties for green space, I supported both of them. So once again, my approach is totally collaborative. I would point out that the Adair property that has been the subject of so much of this, one of the reasons that property is now valuable is because of its proximity to what?
The Beltline.
The Atlanta Beltline. So it makes my point. And my point is that the Atlanta Beltline benefits us all. And we don't have to make false choices. But I'm totally committed to working with council to get to a solution.
Is there a timeline for an agreement with APS?
No, I don't have a timeline yet because, candidly, you know, I don't fight two wars at the same time. I think that we needed to finish the referendum. It's taken more effort than people realize because we've been focusing on super voters. That will be over tomorrow.
Super voters are?
Voters who vote for us, it was who voted in four or more elections. But as soon as we're over on Tuesday, we'll be back at it. But in the midst of it, you know, we have to walk and chew gum at the same time. We have continued to have negotiations, and really the most recent conversation I had was we'll be back at it, back at the negotiating table in a serious way.
And one note of disclosure here, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education.
Yes.
Speaking of the Atlanta Board of Education and APS, right now, Mr. Mayor, closing arguments are underway in the APS cheating trial. You tried to be instrumental when the board was having its issues.
No, I did more than try.
It depends on who you ask, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
All right. Well.
But barring any appeals, this coming to closure, your thoughts on this whole trial, the scandal? And I know that you were very adamant that this was a black mark for Atlanta, City of Atlanta. Your thoughts that perhaps this is coming to a closure here?
I mean, that's just what I want to see. I do believe that this is will certainly be remembered as one of the worst moments in the life of our city. And so I am anxious for the trial to conclude so that we can move on. And I just hope that we take the benefits of what was a terrible series of events. And the benefit is that we will never simply believe that if you see numbers that are eye-popping or amazing, there's probably a reason for that. And so because of that, children are going to benefit because there's going to be a level of scrutiny and vigilance to make sure that our children are getting what they deserve every day.
Dr. Hall passed away, the former Atlanta superintendent passed away a few weeks ago. Mr. Mayor, did you ever have any conversations with her about the cheating, either prior to the indictments, when all this was going on? Did you have a private conversation with her? Did you talk about it at all?
No, I've never had a private conversation with Dr. Hall about the cheating scandal.
Why not?
Well, because she was suffering from breast cancer, and I thought that there was a legal process in place. And I know a good bit about breast cancer and the damage that it does to you when you go through it.
But and, even before the indictment, did you ever have a conversation with her?
Absolutely not. And candidly, there was no need to have a conversation after the indictment because the legal process was in place and it was going to be what it was going to be.
Prior to the indictment?
So,
you were involved with the school board. You didn't feel a need to talk to the superintendent even when all this broke out? You didn't feel
a
need?
Not once there was a legal process in place, I did not.
Mm-mm. Mr. Mayor, different subject here. The passage of some bills for new cities as in the legislature, and again, that's still in the process. They made it through one house.
Yes.
That's given new life to some of the questions about whether the city will try to annex Druid Hills. Are you making a concerted effort to annex Druid Hills?
Let's be real clear. On Druid Hills and South Fulton, we're not making a concerted effort to annex anyone. The only thing that we're doing is
wouldn't
making
you
sure.
Want
hold on.
Okay.
Now you asked the question, you got to let me answer.
Okay.
I would love to have Druid Hills join the city. I don't believe the path for Druid Hills or unincorporated areas in South Fulton is to pursue them. The path is whenever they ask for information, we provide it. If they ask me, for example, in South Fulton to show up and make a case for the city, I do that. But I don't believe the path to having folks in South Fulton or Druid Hills come in is through pursuing them. So I want to be very clear. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is responding to a community of serious people, both in South Fulton and Druid Hills, who've expressed an interest in coming into the city of Atlanta. One of the best op-eds I've seen, at least in a year, was written by one of the advocates for Druid Hills coming into the city of Atlanta. And they explained in very clear reasons why they thought Atlanta was the place for them to go. But I want to be crystal clear. Atlanta is not pursuing Druid Hills or folks in unincorporated South Fulton. But we are going to be a viable choice, and we will make our case at appropriate times.
Pursuing them is one thing. Making it clear to them that you would be open to them is another. So are you saying, you've had no conversations with the advocates for Druid Hills annexation?
Well, this feels like a deposition, but what I'm saying is that I've had very warm conversations with folks from Druid Hills and unincorporated South Fulton, but they have been informational. And so when folks from Jewett Hills and South Fulton want to know, what are my property taxes going to be? What will it cost for my trash delivery? That requires my government to provide them with concrete, thoughtful answers so that they can make a decision. So that's been our posture.
I want to talk about Atlanta's professional sports teams here, because yes, the Braves are headed up to Cobb County. The Hawks, it's reported, will be sold to an out-of-state group. You had talked about it would serve the city well if there was maybe a local connection here. If it is true that it's an out-of-town group, I'm smiling. Good question.
I mean, this is like, y'all are reminding me of like my law firm days. I'm waiting for somebody to object.
We just didn't want you to feel, not at home.
You can say object if you want to. If the Hawks are sold to an out-of-state group, you have concerns that maybe the team could be headed elsewhere?
The answer is absolutely not. First of all, let's stop it about the Braves. I mean, Cobb County is Atlanta. I mean, it's the Atlanta metropolitan region.
It is
the region. It's 12 miles from where it is today.
And in traffic, it's 4 hours.
And they're paying $400 million for that privilege. So
let's
stop that.
Did you do enough to keep the Braves here then?
No question about it. Okay. No question about it. We put a very fair deal on the table. But the question about where the Braves are, first of all, the Braves are nothing like the Falcons, where we had a revenue stream, where hotel motel taxes fully support everything we've done around the Falcons. That wasn't the case around the Braves. As it relates to the Hawks, they will definitely be in Atlanta. I've had multiple visits with the commissioner for the NBA. Commissioner Silver was in Atlanta, I believe, just last week for the Dominique Wilkins statue unveiling. And he's assured me in no uncertain terms that the team will remain in Atlanta. And I'm also having ongoing conversations with the ownership groups. And I'm confident that they will remain in Atlanta.
Well, the Braves are going to Cobb County.
They
if
are.
It is 12 miles away, but you still have people who are losing their jobs, people who worked at the stadium. You might have people who counted on the Braves fan base during the season for the surrounding businesses. Let's talk about.
No, that's unfair, Rhodes.
Can I get my question out? You asked Dennis.
What you did was made a statement before the question. That
all right, let me do
really
this.
Isn't. Isn't right.
All right, let me back up then.
We're getting ready to invest. You got $250 million going into Turner Field, which never would have gone into Turner Field if you do the deal with Georgia State and Carter.
But the city didn't have to pay for Turner. Okay, but the Turner Field was a gift from the Olympics, correct?
It wasn't a gift. It was a contribution.
Okay.
We built it for the Olympics.
Okay, however, yes. Mr. Mayor, if Turner Field is gone, the Braves are gone.
Yeah.
There were people who worked during the season. There are businesses around that area who counted on the Braves season. Their businesses will suffer. That's
and they're going to have – no, but there's a balance to that.
So what are you offering to
that? There's a balance to that. There's also a $250 million project from Georgia State University that absorbs the 77-acre parcel that it will have a football stadium attached, that will have baseball fields, and will have a residential component that never would have come here. If you look at major stadium projects around the country, almost none of them with net residential components are successful because the price point for those homes is about $250,000 and
up. Absolutely.
And folks will not pay $250,000 for a house that they can't get to 81 times a year. So because the Braves are going to Cobb, the largest college and university in the state of Georgia is going to be able to expand its campus. I'll take that legacy, and I believe that the folks in that community are going to be better off with Georgia State University as the primary tenant than they would have with the Braves at Turner Field.
And can you guarantee that there won't be any displacement of, because there are some low-income families around that area too. Whenever there's new development, there is a chance for displacement of people. You know that.
What I know is we've got a better shot at making sure that those families aren't displaced and that they're able to benefit from the new development that will likely come with Georgia State and Carter's. And I just think that, when I look back at my legacy as a mayor, expanding Georgia State University, one of the state's leading schools, onto a 77-acre campus, adding residential, adding sports fields, and giving Georgia State a true campus, to me, is as good a legacy as having the Braves play there versus playing 12 miles away or 13 miles away and versus the city putting $150 to $250 million on our credit card. I've taken the $250 million that we would have needed to spend on the Braves, and I'm building bridges, fixing potholes, expanding green space. We didn't have the debt capacity for both.
Mr. Mayor, violent crime has declined in the city in the last few years.
Well, I appreciate you leading with that.
But now
comes the hook.
That's all right. But over the weekend,
yes,
two young men were gunned down in a restaurant parking lot in Little Five Points, one of the city's walking neighborhoods. And this followed an armed robbery nearby. The investigation is going on into whether those two incidents are connected or not. But are you worried that we could see more violent attacks in not just Little Five Points, but in areas of the city where we're trying to get people to come in so they can walk around more at night? Are those neighborhoods more vulnerable now? And is that a concern for you? And if so, what can we do about it?
Well, you know, Dennis, I mean, there is no important concern for me than keeping people safe. That's why we've invested more than any administration in history in public safety. That is a fact. Crime is down to 40-year lows. That is a fact. Every year since I've been mayor, there have been less than 100 people murdered. That is a fact. But one murder is too many. I started my day working on the exact issue that you just raised, asking for meetings with my chief, my COO, and my command team to make sure that we're changing our behavior to respond to what are clearly violent and heinous acts and behavior that is unacceptable. So the straight answer to your question is we will push back in a decisive way, on the violence that we have seen.
What are some of the features of that decisive pushback? Some specific points.
Expanding the number of officers and the amount of time that we have that officers are working, expanding the overtime, expanding the use of PredPol, our predictive predictive analysis for where crime will go, expanding our video surveillance capability, which is a force multiplier for our police force.
And will that be part of the bond issue?
Is in the bond referendum. So I think your question is totally fair, but I just want to speak to you from my heart and from my head. I deal with this every single minute of every single day of my life. As soon as we came into work this morning, the first conversation in the first 10 minutes of cabinet was with the chief of police, who is coming back to me with a plan to get ahead of this violence before the summer.
Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for taking the time. Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's one we both had here.
That's okay. Let's go.
Right, the tournament starting, the field of 64. And you got Georgia State going all the way?
I do. This morning, I got Georgia State going all the way and fighting Kentucky real tough.
All right. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate
They had some Kentucky transfers last year.
They have some Louisville transfers, too.
Yeah, Kevin Ware.
Yep. Look at the rose. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I know my sports. You should know that.
All right.